started this series a month ago, and this is week two. I spent the last 2 weeks away, and we've been doing this series on tables, on Jesus' fascination with food, apparently, and gathering people around tables, and how Christ, through simple bread and simple juice, through simple meals shared around tables and around blankets and wherever people could gather to eat, came together and shared something of the Spirit with people. And so tonight we turn to this table story without a table, the story of the feeding of the 5,000 on a countryside. And Jesus took some bread and some fish and shared with so many. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for the ways in which that you move in and through us. And we just pray that you will open our eyes, open our hearts, and open our ears, that we may hear you speak to us tonight. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, can I ask a technical question? Guys, can you take me out of the monitors? Because I can hear myself and it's weirding me out. Thank you. Much better. Thank you, thank you. I don't know about you, but there are times when you watch the news and I'm just overwhelmed. Or I come across a statistic on the internet, you know, researching something, and it just blows me away. And I don't know how we can do anything about some of the problems in the world. Let me just share a couple of them with you. The AIDS crisis in Africa, the estimates now that up to 20%, one in five adults in Zambia and South Africa is infected with HIV. One in five. World poverty numbers. It's estimated that half the world, nearly 3 billion people, live on the equivalent of less than $2 American a day. $700 a year. What can we do? Human trafficking. Do you know slavery still exists today? 27 million people, it's estimated, are in some kind of forced labor. Over 8 million of them, kids. Malaria in underdeveloped countries. One website says every 30 seconds somebody dies of malaria, an easily curable disease. Then we just got to get close to home. I mean, the economy stinks. People are in trouble. Banks are closing. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are in trouble. It's hard to even imagine what's going on. $4 a gallon of gas. People can't afford their food bills anymore. Children are left at home for long periods of time because mom and dad have to work, and we know that they're doing things that they shouldn't be doing, some of them. Elderly are put away in nursing homes and hardly ever get a visitor. The homeless and the poor. Every once in a while, you get off the right exit on I-25 and there's somebody with a cardboard sign. And I think, how can we make a difference? I look at the problems and I'm overwhelmed. I don't have the resources I'd like to have to make a dent in any one of the world's problems. I don't have the clout or the pulpit to shout loud enough to get people to listen to the world's problems. It's easy to say, oh, the leaders should do that. Let's elect the right guy. And you know what? Eventually they're all the wrong guy because they don't fix everything. No matter how good it might be, our problem might not be top on their list, the one that touches our hearts, that moves us. Tonight, in our scripture lesson, the disciples find themselves in a similar plight. There's 5,000 people to be fed. And did you notice it says 5,000 men? That is gender specific. Some have estimated it could have been 15,000 to 20,000 people because they only counted the men and not the women and children. So it might be 5,000 families that need to be fed. This must have been an important story for the early church. Very few miracle stories show up in all four Gospels. This one does. This was important to the early church. Matthew and Luke have a lot of the same stories. Mark has some in common with Matthew and some in common with Luke, and some all three of them have together. But there are very, very few, especially miracle stories, that occur in all four of them. John, oftentimes his miracle stories only occur in John. We're not sure why, but he tells different stories. This one, though, all four of them tell this story. And in fact, the idea of feeding all of these people was so remarkable that Matthew and Mark tell a second similar story where it's not 5,000 but 4,000 people who get fed. So Jesus did this twice. And there's something about this feeding story that touched the early church. A story of people gathered around a table, so to speak. I don't know about you, but I'm constantly struck with Jesus' concern for the people around him. Did you hear how this story started? Jesus and the disciples have just come back. They've just come back from their first missionary journey. Jesus had sent them out in pairs to go and do some mission work, to preach to people and to heal and do all the things that Jesus did. They come back together, and they've been so busy, Mark records, they haven't had time to eat. And so what are they going to do? They're going out to a quiet place. They're going out to a field to be off by themselves, to be renewed and refreshed in the presence of Jesus, to get energized, to continue the ministry. But their retreat is interrupted because somebody gets word of where they're going and beats them there. A whole crowd shows up, and they want Jesus to heal them. The sick and the hurting and those that are just broken inside show up. They meet Jesus and the disciples in this deserted place. And Jesus has compassion for the needs of the people. Scripture says when Jesus arrived, he saw the huge crowd, and at the sight of them, his heart broke. Oh, it strikes me over and over again how often Jesus is concerned with the needs of his people, and he meets those needs with no strings attached. Jesus never says, I don't want to say never, there might be a place, somebody might know better than me, but Jesus seldom says, if ever, if you believe enough, I'll feed you. Jesus doesn't say, if you stop doing X, I'll heal you. He just feeds people and heals people. No strings, no conditions. He just meets needs. And so we come to this story. 5,000 people have followed him to learn from him, and now they're hungry. And I love the disciples' reaction. In essence, they say, it's not our problem. The same thing we often say, go solve it yourself. You got yourself into this mess, get yourself out of it. The problem in Africa is far away. We don't have to worry about that. The things that are happening, it's not happening to us. Let the other people take care of what's going on. And that's what the disciples want to do. They say to Jesus, this has gone on long enough. Can you imagine saying that to Jesus? You've done enough healing, Jesus. You've done enough preaching and teaching. Give a benediction and send them home. They're hungry. They're tired. I know. They're hungry themselves. They want the people to go away so they can have their time. And then Jesus says this, let's have a picnic instead. Well, that's not what the Bible says, but that's what he says. He says, have the people sit down. Scripture says it this way. You do it, Jesus said to the disciples. Fix supper for them. And I love the way the message gives Andrew's answer, or the disciples' answer. Are you serious? You want us to spend a fortune on food for their supper? But he was quite serious. I just played around. A Happy Meal is about $4, right? I mean, if you go to McDonald's, a Happy Meal is about $4. 5,000 Happy Meals is $20,000 to a bunch of disciples. I mean, these guys weren't rich to begin with. They were fishermen. They weren't saving probably anything. They were just working. And now they've left their jobs to follow Jesus. They don't have $20,000 between the 12 of them. No way. There's no way they could feed all of these people to go and buy it. They have an overwhelming problem. What can they realistically do? And then Jesus asks an amazing question. This is where the story turns for me. He says, "What do you have?" He doesn't say, "What do you need?" He doesn't say, "What do you want?" He doesn't say, "What's missing?" He doesn't even say, "What's the problem?" He says, "What do you have? What do you have?" The Gospel of John adds this little detail that a little boy comes to one of the disciples and says, "I have my lunch. I have 5 loaves and 2 fish. 5 barley loaves. A barley loaf was probably about the size of a roll. We would call it a dinner roll. They called it a loaf of bread. And when they're talking about fish, they're not talking about salmon. They're talking about Sea of Galilee fish. 2 fish. A couple of rolls, a couple of fish, and only a kid would even bother to offer that. Because if there's 5,000 people to be fed, one Happy Meal's not going to do it. And that's all he has. But he gives it to Jesus, and Jesus does an amazing thing with it. Didn't solve world hunger. He didn't solve the Israelites' problem. But that day, 5,000 people ate because a little boy gave his lunch to Jesus. What do you have? What do you have? The story, that question reminded me of a story in the Old Testament about a shepherd. Shepherd was tending his sheep one day and he saw a bush on fire. And Moses went over and talked to God through that burning bush. The interesting thing about that story is go back and read that and read it in the Message. There's a couple of chapters there of conversation between Moses and God. And oftentimes when they show this in the movies, Moses is really obedient. It took him a couple of chapters to be obedient in Exodus. Moses spends a good chapter and a half telling God he picked the wrong guy. He tries so hard to talk God out of it. And I imagine he's just saying, "Why did I look at the bush?" At one point in Exodus chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, we get this exchange. I'm going to share this with you. One of Moses' objections. It says, Moses objected, "They won't trust me, they, the Israelites. They won't listen to a word I say. They're going to say, 'God appear to him?' Hardly." And so God said, "What's in your hand?" "A staff. A hunk of wood." A piece of wood that Moses had probably carved over the years, had worn smooth, it fit his hand really well. He used it to tend to the sheep. But if you continue to read that story, that's the staff. That's the staff. The staff Moses uses when he wants to turn the sea to blood, he puts the staff in the water and it turns to blood. When he parts the Red Sea, he raises the staff. When they're wandering in the wilderness and there's nothing to drink, he taps a rock with his staff and water comes out. It's a hunk of wood. There's nothing miraculous about the staff. But God wants to know, what do you have in your hand? What do you have? What do you have? And will you let me use it? That's amazing what God can do when we let God use it. One commentator makes a really interesting note that fish and bread were not gourmet foods in Jesus' day. They were staples of the Israelite diet. What would you eat every day on the desert island? Did anybody come up with anything good? What? Filet mignon, baked potato, and a salad. Okay. Anybody else? What'd you put, Krista? Pizza. Oh, yeah, pizza's very healthy. You can get all the food groups in there. Okay. Anybody else? I assume you said pizza too? Okay. Anybody else? Anything? Nachos. All right. I got a nacho group. Anything on them, right? So you tried to figure out how you could have variety, right? You know, the pizza could have different toppings. It would be fun. All right. Chocolate? Yeah, there's some people who can't live without chocolate every day. I understand that. For the people of Jesus' day, barley loaves and fish were probably the food they were sick of. This wasn't special food. This was the ordinary stuff of life. This is probably the stuff they ate every day. An ordinary hunk of wood, an ordinary lunch. What do you have in your hands? Last week, our middle schoolers were on our mission trip. And I want to tell you a couple of stories really quick. And you can find these people afterwards because some of them are here. But Krista worked at a soccer camp for refugees. Children that were refugees. Did Krista solve the refugee problem? No. But she made a difference to a couple of kids. One in particular that you told us about, whose life was, for at least a couple of days, changed by the other kids that worked with Krista. And he stopped playing soccer so he could be around the kids and serve water and food to when there was break time. JT and Emily worked in a food bank. Did they solve the hunger problem? No. But for this next week, a whole bunch of people are going to have food to eat because of the work that they did in a food bank. My favorite was Alex Brooking. Alex scooped poop in a horse farm. I'm not kidding. That's what he did the first 2 days there. The horse ranch was for special needs kids. It was a therapeutic horse ranch where they got some physical therapy and I guess some, just it was just good holistically for them to be on a horse. And on Wednesday, somebody told Alex that the kids could walk through the field and get to the horse because he scooped poop. What do you have in your hand? Soccer ball, a can of food, a shovel, a stick, your lunch. What's in your hand? It's an old sermon story that I need to share with you tonight. It's one of those fairy tale stories. It says, once upon a time there was a man who used to go to the ocean to do his writing. He had a habit of clearing his head by walking on the beach before he began his work. And one day, while he was walking along the shore, he looked down the beach and saw someone moving like a dancer. And he smiled at the thought that someone was greeting the morning by dancing on the beach. When he got closer, though, he noticed that the person wasn't dancing. They were bending down, picking something up, and throwing it into the ocean. He got closer and he asked the young man, "What are you doing?" "I'm throwing starfish back in the ocean." "I can see that. Why are you throwing starfish back in the ocean?" "Because the sun's coming up and it's going to dry them out. The tide's going out. So they need to get beyond the breakers so they can survive." The man who had been walking on the beach said, "There's miles of beach and miles of starfish. You aren't going to make a bit of difference." With that, the young man bent down, picked up a starfish, threw it in the water, and said, "All the difference in the world to that one." What do we have in our hands? What does Jesus want you to give to him that he can multiply and do something great with? What do you have? None of us can answer that for the person next to us. We answer it on our own. What do you have in your hands? Let's pray together. God, sometimes like the disciples, we too can just get overwhelmed with the enormity of the problems, the trials and the struggles in life. When we look at the world, we don't have enough to make a dent. When we look at our own community, we don't have enough to get it done. Yet, God, we know that a little boy's lunch wasn't enough to feed 5,000 either. encourage us and strengthen us to give you what we have. And Lord, we pray that you will use it and multiply it to serve people all over the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.